personal storms. A spiritual storm that you go through as a Christian is very much like a natural storm. In a natural storm, you have, for example, if a tornado comes through, you can lose your house, your car, you can lose your life. If it's bad enough, you could lose a job. Sometimes when these tornadoes, if they're F5, they take everything along with them. Houses, cars, the street, everything. Everything's lifted up and goes. But most storms that we go through the natural, we lose nothing. It's just a storm that we have to navigate. Well, a spiritual storm is almost exactly the same. There is a danger when you go through spiritual storms that you can suffer loss. If you don't navigate it correctly, if you don't take the precautions that you need to take. Growing up in Kansas, we were in Tornado Alley. We had several tornadoes every single year. And we knew that when the clouds darkened and everything got still, we knew it's time to go outside, bring in the lawn chairs, secure things down, make sure that nothing can just fly away, put weight on everything. Otherwise, you lose that thing if a tornado comes in the vicinity. Well, spiritually speaking, there are things that we have to do to make sure that we can navigate the storm. And the most important thing you can do is don't cast away your confidence and hold fast to your profession of faith. Many times we go through a storm and we think, well, God is mad at me. And I want to show you through the scriptures today that that's not the case at all. That's foolish thinking. The book of Matthew chapter 14, I'll begin reading in verse 22. It's the story of the disciples going through a storm. And beginning with verse 22, it says, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are this morning. We thank you for your hand of providence upon all things. We would ask you now, Lord, that you would bless the families that give in support of this ministry. Lord, here in the worship room, on the internet, God, that you would bless, that you would raise up, that you would, according to your word, open the very windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon their lives. Father, I ask you now that you would use this vessel, that you would speak through me into the hearts, into the matters that your people are concerned about, that you would use me this morning to clearly articulate this word. I pray it in Jesus' name, and I thank you. Amen. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. The word constrain means that he compelled them. He didn't listen to any arguments that they may have. He forced them to get into the ship and go to the other side. Now, no doubt, Peter and some of the others, they were fishermen. They made their life on the sea. That's how they made their income. And they could tell when a storm was coming. And they may have had some objections that maybe we should wait till the storm passes, but the scripture says he constrained them. He compelled them. Oh, not 6 hours from now. Right now, get into a ship and go to the other side. Why is that important? Because sometimes God will send you into a storm. See, we often think that God just comes in and saves us from every storm and we never have any issues. That's not the truth. Sometimes it's God's will for you to go through a storm. He constrained them, knowing what was coming. He forced them to get into the ship and go to the other side. Now, this means that he sent them into a storm and he was not with them. How many's ever gone through something that feels like God's 1,000 miles away from you? It's like Israel of old. He told Israel, he gave them a booming promise. He said, I'm going to lift you up out of Egyptian bondage. I'm going to take you into the promised land. It's flowing with milk and honey. And according to his word, he picked them up and he sent them into a wilderness. The promised land was you could get there in 30 days. But he sent them into the wilderness. Here's why the scripture says to prove them, to test them, to see how they would navigate in the storm. And you know the story. They begin to murmur and grumble against God. They begin to say it would have been better for us to be seated beside the flesh pots in Egypt under slavery and bondage than it is to come out here. We're going to die in the wilderness. And just like this, God sends you and I through storms sometimes because he wants to prove you. Now, with Israel of old, it was an absolute promise. I'm taking you to the promised land. Ultimately, he did. But the ones who walked in disbelief with murmuring and grumbling because their lives were being challenged, and we don't like challenges. We like the path of least resistance. We like the easy way. Well, why can't God just snap his fingers and everything's perfect? Because everything will be perfect except you and I. And he has to prove us. He has to test us. He has to try us sometimes. And ultimately, that storm will be good for you. It will grow you. Joshua went through the entire episode of the 40 years in the wilderness. And then the first day, he looked, he said, we can take this land. We can take it. When he went out, Moses sent out the spies. He was one of two. Him and Caleb came back. We can do it. We can take it. Full of faith. The other said, man, we're grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can weather this. 40 years later, Joshua still said, we can take it. And if you read when he came into the promised land, Joshua fought 31 battles straight. He won all of them, except Ai. 31 kingdoms in a row, he knocked them down. It's because he had faith in the storm so that when the storm was over, he was standing strong before the Lord. See, God wants to test us and try us and prove us. And I know, I don't like them. I don't like storms. But I've been through some deep water and I can look back now and say, it was good for me that I was afflicted. I grew in my faith and I grew in my understanding that God's not going to forsake me just because the spiritual winds are blowing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to forsake me. I have to now, in the midst of this storm, hold on to my faith, continue to worship, and just bear up under the storm, knowing that it will not last always. Now, it says that he constrained them to get into the ship to go to the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. Now, this means that he probably dispersed the crowds 4 or 5 o'clock. Evening typically is 6 to 7 o'clock is what's referred to as evening. By 6 and 7 o'clock, he's alone. And he's in prayer all by himself. You know, even when you feel like Christ is not with you, he's still your mediator. He's still mediating on your behalf. Just because physically you don't see him there, you don't feel goosebumps going up and down your neck and down your arms. That's really not God's will for you to continually live like that with goosebumps. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, it's wonderful when you have goosebumps. I like it. It's good. But it's not God's will for you to be like that 24/7. He wants you to simply walk by faith, not by goosebumps. He wants you to just walk it out because you trust him and you believe him. And so sometimes he don't feel his presence like you do at other times. And sometimes going through a storm, you may not feel his presence, but you know how to walk before him. It says at evening he was there alone. Now, if you hold your finger right there and just flip over to Mark chapter 6, it's the exact same point in this exact same story, but Mark reflects it with a little bit more detail. That's important. Now, by this time, the disciples are in the ship. They're beginning to hit the storm. They're beginning to feel the impact of the storm that they're going through. Mark chapter 6, verse 47 says, "And evening was come," same exact time, The ship was in the midst of the sea. Now, the midst means it was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Galilee is typically about 9 miles wide. So they're about 4.5 miles out. They're in the middle of this body of water. And there, as it says here, and he was alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. Now, get that. So he constrained them to get into the ship. They went out battling the storm. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is far away, at least 4.5 miles away in a mountain. He's praying, but yet the scripture says he saw them in their efforts, toiling and rowing. Now, in a storm, you can't see 4.5 miles out. So this means that he saw them in the spirit, and he saw what they was going through. And when you go through a storm, when you go through a trial, when you're toiling and rowing, he sees you. Just keep doing what he told you to do. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Yes, there's a storm, but what's the last thing he said? Go to the other side. And so that when you go through a storm, don't throw up both of your hands and say, oh, God's mad at me. He's not. He wants to see you operate in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the storm doesn't change you, and the storm doesn't change God. You have to just keep navigating through that storm to get to the other side. Back in Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now, when it says the ship, it means the disciples in the ship were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, get this. You have to capture this. They're not on the peripheral of the storm. They're in the middle of the storm. The whole ship is being thrown back and forth by the violence of the storm. They are right there in the very absolute perfect will of God. That was the perfect will of God to be there at that time for them to be in that storm. And so when you're going through a storm, what we do is we go through a storm and we think back to our last sin and we connect them. Oh, I did that sin, so God's put me in a storm. That's not the truth. That God's not like that. He's always trying to develop you. He's always, and all of us, when it's a sunshiny day, man, we're supermen. I mean, we're the strongest Christians that have ever walked on the planet. But can you do that in the rain? When the rain begins to fall, when the wind begins to blow. Have you ever noticed how your whole spiritual personality wants to turn and you want to become a weakling, and you was just Superman 5 minutes ago? He was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. You know, God lets these storms come upon our lives again because he wants to develop, he wants to prove us, and he wants to develop us. And he wants us to see what we have and also plainly see what we don't have. And you look back at maybe the greatest example of faith that we have in the Bible, Father Abraham. Father Abraham waited for 25 years to have his son from Sarah, Isaac. 25 years. He just walked believing God, even though he was messing up. He did the Hagar thing. He was all out of order going down to Egypt. But yet he walked for 25 years and then his son. And his son grew up to be a strapping lad, probably between 16 and 18 years old. And God gives him a revelation. Take Isaac up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. Now, Moriah wasn't right next door. It was several days travel for him to get there. And so he had to take his son, his only son whom he loved, and he had to navigate several days to get to the place of Moriah where he knew, I'm going to cut his throat and I'm going to put him on fire and burn him before the Lord because God told me that. Don't think that's not a trial. I choke up just thinking about that. And God watched him. God sat in heaven and watched Abraham as he wrestled within himself, as the storm was taking effect on him. But he watched as Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God the whole time. That's how you go through the storm. That's how you go through the times of trial when it seems like everything is going wrong. Nothing you anticipated is coming to pass. When you go through storms with your spouse, when you go through storms on your career, when you go through storms with yourself, you just can't seem to get yourself in order. You still have to navigate it with faith in God. Lord, I know you're with me. I know you've not left me. I'm not going to cast away my confidence. I'm going to hold fast to my profession of faith. And I'm going to navigate this storm because I'm not looking to just get to the other side. I want an A. I want a grade A navigation through the storm. Verse 25 says, now in the fourth watch of the night. Now this is important. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, get this. At evening time, the day before, Jesus was praying and he saw them. He waited 9 to 12 hours. He allowed them to toil in the storm. He allowed them to fight the realities of that storm for 9 to 12 hours. He's not coming just because you start crying. Because your crying is an example of how you're navigating the storm. And so sometimes you just got to man up on it. Say, this is a storm. It's my reality. It's the portion that the Lord has cut for me, and I'm going to eat it. Man, that's good. I'm preaching to myself. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Is that amazing? Now, you've got 12 men in the boat. Some of them are fishermen. They know how to navigate on the water, but they're stuck in the middle of the storm. They can't get to the other side. They're stuck there. And they're somewhat concerned because of the violence of the storm. And then in the middle of the fourth watch of the night, here comes Jesus walking on the very circumstance that is over them. I'm not saying that well. The storm is expressing its power over the disciples, and here comes Jesus expressing his power over the storm. He's walking on the water. Praise the Lord. Now here, you got to see human nature, though. Watch human nature. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Seems like that's what I'd be looking for. I'd have been looking for that. Where is the Lord? Where is he at? We're in the hour of need, where is he at? But they see him walking on the water, and oh, here's your enemy. It calls them to fear. That's your enemy right there. Something we have to understand, we go through challenges, and sometimes we go through big challenges, big trials. Because we can only begin to understand how big our God is when you put him beside one of our big challenges. Here they are. They're in fear for their lives. Peter might have been cussing at him. Put that anchor over. Throw some weight off. He might have been cussing at him. They was in fear for their lives. And then here comes Jesus making their situation, their challenge, their trial look like, what is the problem? And it says, when they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and here it is, they cried out for fear. I was this past week, we had the thunderstorms in the area, and I was talking to my, texting with my daughter early, one of the mornings that the thunder was just, it was just wonderful. And she said, I'm huddled here on the couch. I've got my three... She had my three grandbabies. They're all huddled together. And the babies are afraid of the thunder because it, you know, shakes and rattles. And she was teaching them what she said her mother taught her years ago. God is the master of the storm. But the immature children, they're there full of fear over something that doesn't have to be feared. Do you understand what I'm saying? And sometimes in our storms, our personal storms, we're filled with fear, not realizing, not having the presence of mind to understand he walks upon the challenges of life. And not only him, we'll see in a minute, he calls Peter to walk on the water. So you can stay in the boat and you can murmur, complain, and be afraid, or you can get out and you can walk with Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to walk with him. That's what fellowship is. They cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Why would you be afraid when you serve omnipotence? All powerful. The storms, you have a tornado come in, a nasty one. It's like, oh my God, run for your life. But Jesus, in the same storm, he just simply says, peace, be still. And it just all goes down. And Peter answered him and said, ah, Peter, now here's why you go through your storms. Here's why. Had Peter not been in this storm, his faith would have never been elevated. And Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What a statement is that? Let's read on. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, here's two things you have to understand. He wasn't just walking on the water to show out. He specifically had in his mind, bid me come unto thee. Bid me come be where you're at. Suddenly he realized where you're at is safer than where I'm at. And I want to come to where you're at. And then it goes on to say that when he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He didn't just get out and do a lap around the boat to tell Mark and Matthew, hey, look at me, man. I got it going on. Look at this. But he made a beeline for Jesus Christ. Something about our storms, they make us want to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Listen, when you go through a storm, your prayer life should go to the top. And you're murmuring and you're complaining. It should not, don't resist it. Resist it at all means. Do not complain. Because there's other people that would give anything to be in your trial. There's people, Christians, in the Sudan under the threat of having their heads cut off that would look at your trial like being in heaven. Don't complain. Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Now, understand this. It's not normal for men to be able to walk on water. That doesn't happen every day. He's walking in a place of impossibility. Jesus called him to walk and to do what was impossible to do. Now, yes, there were some trials, there were some challenges, but if you would just hold on to your faith, Jesus will cause you to walk in places that you'll know good and well. There's no way I could ever be here had he not carried me through that. I am an ex-crack cocaine addict. There was a time I couldn't keep $5 in my pocket because I'd go straight to the dope house. But he's called to me to walk in a place of impossibility. My whole life is an impossibility now. Where hundreds of thousands of dollars pass through my hands and I got receipts for every penny that's been spent. Where the challenges of the past, I'm no longer wet from that storm. Completely dry, standing where God would have me to stand. I shouldn't be here. Someone else should be here. But I dare to walk with Jesus in a place of impossibility. And he's got the same place for each one of you. If you would just stop your murmuring and complaining. Look at that storm as Joshua did and said, I am well able. I have been equipped. I have the Lord on my side. And I am not going to fear this storm. I'm going to put my head down and my shoulder into it, and I'm going to walk through this trial. And I want Jesus to see me the whole time as he saw the disciples. I want him to see me. I'm toiling and I'm rowing, but I'm not complaining. I'm trying to do what he told me to do, go to the other side. Ah, but here it is. No matter how much you grow, no matter how wonderful you go through the storm, there's another storm waiting for you. See, he doesn't just want us to grow. He wants us to come to the full measure, the stature of the Son of God, so that we're absolutely no more children tossed to and fro. And although Peter, his faith rose up maybe greater than any other man in this moment. He's walking on the water. He's going to Jesus. But the scripture says when he saw the wind boisterous. That means, Peter, you took your eyes off of Jesus and you started looking at the storm. Ah, that's so good. What you looking at this morning? What are you looking at concerning your storm, concerning your Savior? What has your focus? What has your attention this morning? If you get your eyes off of the trial, get your eyes off the storm, and put your eyes to Jesus Christ, and not just sit there doing nothing, get on your knees and go to Jesus. Go to that place in him. He'll raise you up above the storms, raise you up above the wind. You have no trial that omnipotence can't solve. He saw the wind boisterous, and there it is again. He was afraid. Come on, fear is your indicator you're not operating in faith. And just listen to your own words and you'll tell whether you're fearful or not. They'll come out in your words. You may not say, I'm scared to death, but you can still discern through your own words whether or not you're operating in faith and fear. And let me just say, you can't operate in both of those at the same time. It's impossible. They're opposites. Faith is an expectation of good things from God. Fear is an expectation of bad things from God. You can't do them both. It's one or the other. And it says, Peter, as he looked at the wind, and see, this is what Satan does. Satan will do a huff and a puff and say, I'm going to blow your house down to create fear in our lives, to make us afraid. Because when we're afraid, we can't operate in faith, and he gets the advantage. He saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid and beginning to sink. See how fast that works? When he rose up in faith and said, Lord, bid me come walk with you on the water. Jesus said, come on. Man, he just got out and said, man, I'm going to Jesus. But as soon as fear set in, faith began to diminish. And the Bible says he began to sink down. And the storm that he once had the victory over now once again is getting the victory over him. How's that going for you this morning? How are you doing in your storm? He began to sink down and he cried saying, Lord, save me. At least he had that. Listen, in the midst of your storm, that's a good prayer. Lord, save me. And watch this now. And immediately, that means just like that, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. So even if you're flailing around a little bit in your storm, you're doing your best, but it's not good enough. Jesus is not angry at you. He's not throwing you out. Get on your knees and say, Jesus, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now that's amazing. He stretched forth his hand. That means Peter had walked so close to Jesus, all Jesus had to do was this. He wasn't over there. He had walked all the way up. He almost made it. He's right there. And then fear. Listen, the closer you get to Jesus, the more Satan is going to huff and puff. The more your circumstance is going to try to catch your attention. But Jesus stretched forth his hand. And the scripture says, he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I just saw this. If I was Peter and Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith, I would be saying, Lord, I just walked on the water. Seems like she would say, oh, great man of faith. But he said, oh, ye of little faith. Meaning that's just the beginning of what God has for us. It's just the beginning. It's not some great deed. We can all achieve this. And he asked him, why did you doubt? See, the storms that come upon our lives, they can draw out all unbelief and doubt and ignorance that's in us. That's why, how do you prepare for the storm? You get full of this word. You have, so you don't have to go look and say, oh, is there a scripture? Let me ask ChatGPT. I need scriptures on going through a personal storm. You don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit will bring that right up in your heart. And that's what you hold on to right there. That's what you grab. When everything is going crazy and the floor falls out beneath you, you hold on to that word. Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot, not one tittle of my word shall in no wise pass away. You hold on to that word. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Get that. As soon as Jesus got back into the ship and he's dragging Peter, Peter's all wet. He's dragging them in. And immediately Jesus doesn't have to say anything. The whole storm just, whew. Your storm that you're going through or that you're going to go through, if you will hold on and rise up in your faith, you will find that Jesus can stop that storm in a moment's time. It's like it never, ever happened. Praise the Lord. Your personal storm, navigate it in faith and let the Lord grow you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I thank you this morning for helping me to make a clear message, Lord, that's easily digestible by your people. I'd ask you now, Master, that you would take these words and you would penetrate deeply into the hearts of every person. In the sound of my voice here in the worship room across the internet, that you would touch hearts, that you would penetrate hard hearts, that you would build up, strengthen the feeble knees of that one that's going through the storm that doesn't know how to navigate. Lord, that person might believe you for the impossible. As Peter believed you and walked in the place of impossibility, help your people, Lord, in the midst of the storm to trust you. Over and above all things, God, I pray it for the people. I pray it for myself. Come on, as you're all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning if you're able? I don't know what storms you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. That's not necessary. But why don't you bring that thing right up in your heart right now? Just bring it to the top of your heart. Just begin to ask the Lord, Father, in this trial, Lord, in this trial, in this storm that I'm enduring, oh God, help me not to murmur one time, not to complain one time, but to walk through trusting you, your provision for my life, your hand upon the issues of my life. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out. Father, we come to you now. Lord, we cannot start the storm and we cannot stop it. But Lord, we can trust you in the midst of it. We can trust your provision, your providence. Lord, we can trust you, your love and your care and your mercy concerning us. Lord, help us in faith to walk through the storm, holding on to your non-changing hand. Lord, help us this morning. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out.
Oh, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for the storm, Lord Jesus. Thank you because in every storm, Father, we are becoming more and more like you, Father. As was just preached, Father, just help us to simply walk through the storm, Father, just full of faith, Lord, with our eyes fixed on you, Lord, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love, Lord. Nothing can pluck us from your hands. Father, we just thank you because, Father, the storm is not our enemy, but fear is, Lord. So help us not to fear, Lord. Help us to trust you and know that you are good and that all things, Lord, work together for our good as we keep our faith on you. Amen. Amen. As always, that was an on-time word because whether you are going through a storm or you're going to go through one, we all have storms. So we just thank the Lord for that on-time message by Pastor. So real quick, a couple of announcements. If you haven't given, as you guys know, we need your support. And also, as you guys know, on Tuesday is First Worship 2025. So please do come out. It's Tuesday and it starts at 11 p.m. So do come out. Doors will be open by 10:30. So we look forward to seeing you guys here. Also, on the 1st, which is the Wednesday, there will be no Bible class. So please do not come out on the 1st. Enjoy that time with your family and friends. And on the 8th, that's next Wednesday, we will be having Laity to Laity. So please do come out and support those that will be speaking. So that means that Bible class will be back on January 15th. So that's 2 weeks from now. But do come out on the 8th and support those that will be speaking. And last but not least, we do have a sign-up sheet in the lobby for those that would like to volunteer to help with the setup and serving and cleanup for First Worship on Tuesday. So please sign up if you are able, and the Lord will bless you as you do. With that being said, you are dismissed. Thank you guys so much for being out here. See you guys on Tuesday.